Well, okay. A form of circularity here is unavoidable. And we've kind of discussed this before, but it bears repeating here, especially from Frame. Does the circularity fall prey to the criticism that apply to the examples that he's mentioned above, like regarding Bach? Bach is good because he sounds like Bach. Does it sound like Bach? Yes. Therefore, it's good because it sounds like Bach. Great. Well, he says, I think not. And he says, for these reasons, the circularity is very similar to the circularity that he's discussed earlier, with it not being a vicious kind, that the ultimate standard will ultimately be the thing that you always apply to. And if you would go above that, then it's not your ultimate standard. So you have to come to some peak at some point, or that's not ultimately your ultimate standard when we ask you, well, what's your ultimate standard? There is always kind of a circularity when we are dealing with an ultimate standard. If one standard of the truth is human reason, one can argue for that standard only by a rational argument, an argument that presupposes the truth of its conclusion. But similarly,
Right.
if
Right.
God,
And so,
yeah.
if reason is your standard, then how do you defend that standard? Well, you give them an argument based on reason. Well, you're falling into circularity,
Right.
right? That, so we right back into circularity. In other words, anytime you're using an ultimate standard as a standard, there is a certain amount of circularity that's involved in that. That's the issue that he's bringing out here.
Right. And then does your system allow for it? Well, I do because it's helpful to me. Well, okay, then God exists because it's helpful to me then. So therefore God exists. Great. Well, no, you didn't prove it. Well, you didn't prove it either. So,
Yeah, you
all
didn't prove
right,
that reason outside of reason is reasonable.
Right. Good. Great. So, but similarly, if God is the supreme standard of truth and rationality, one may argue for that standard only by presupposing it.
And so he says the same circularity is present in any attempt, Christian or non-Christian, to establish the criteria of goodness. So let's say that someone tries to prove that goodness is an abstract form without any personal exemplification. Well, if his abstract form is indeed the supreme standard, then he must show the content of the abstract form to be good by reference to the abstract form, right? And of course, that argument is circular as well. So anytime we have an ultimate standard as a way to determine something, we use the ultimate standard in order to show that the ultimate standard is the ultimate standard. And yes, a certain amount of circularity is involved in that. So you can't get around that with regard to ultimate standards. The point he's trying to make here.
So some might argue that circularity still presents a problem, despite the observations above. For even though the circularity is shared by all religions and philosophies, they might say it is still circularity and therefore objectionable.
Right.
But if it is, the whole enterprise of reason is invalidated, and we are forced into radical skepticism. Yet that sort of objection is self-refuting. If the
Exactly.
circularity of reason invalidates reason itself, then it invalidates the objection as well. So I'm giving you a reason why reason isn't the reason, which is my reason, but then I can't give you a reason. And so, right. So we see the contradiction there. Besides, skepticism itself is a self-refuting position. Any argument of for skepticism presupposes some knowledge. Nope, I don't believe that. Oh, okay, so belief is something that you must hold in order for you to accept it. Well, yes.
Right.
Well, okay. Do you believe that? Well, yes. Okay. So this idea is then a rational argument, which you don't buy because that you don't hold to that belief. Okay. Well, the trap has been sprung.
Exactly. And so, he's going through these various, reasons why his position is the correct position. He says everything we know about God's goodness comes from him. God's revelation is both our ultimate criteria of truth and our sole source of knowledge about God's goodness. So we believe that God is good then because God tells us that he's good. And so obviously there's a certain amount of circularity. But it's a broad circularity, not a narrow one, right? It's a circularity loaded with content, he tells us. It's full of evidence and richly persuasive. We
In
are
fact, I have a
literally
book that you should
surrounded.
read. You should read this book that I have. I have many on my shelves
Yeah.
that where he tells us about him. So let me give you a copy.
Right, exactly. And we're literally surrounded, he tells us, by evidence of God's goodness. And so, yes, this circularity objection seems to hold, but it doesn't have the strength that one would suggest that it does have.
Right? Right.
When we're looking at ultimate authorities, there is a certain amount of circularity. And when we look at God as the ultimate source of goodness, there is a certain amount of circularity in terms of evaluating. But it's not a vicious circularity. He calls it a broad circularity. It's not narrow. And so he suggested that it's an acceptable kind of circularity, just like the circularity that we have when we're attempting to defend reason with reason. Mm-hmm. It's a circular argument. When we attempt to defend our empirical perceptions, right, our sense perceptions, how do I know that I'm having these sense perceptions? Well, because I'm having sense perception, right? It's a certain kind of circularity. Mm-hmm. So all those ultimate kinds of, you know, standards, when we attempt to defend them, we have to use them in order to defend them. And so there's a certain kind of circularity there. And he suggests it's broad and not a narrow.
Right. Right. And then does the system that you propose as your worldview allow for those things? Because there are some worldviews, Eastern ones, that say, well, you know, the sense perception that you're having isn't actually there. But then again, looks both ways before crossing the street on the busy, you know, on the busy street for the bus. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, we discussed this with Nancy Piercy's book, Finding Truth, and other ones as well, of showing a kind of from her perspective, kind of 5 points to evaluating worldviews as well. And so that can be of service to you as well.